This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Senator Blunt, are you there?
Here.
Yes, awesome. It's very funny to me that we got a new phone system over the weekend, and I was like, well, I'll just, whoever we have on, I'll just, if I muff it up, that'll be fine. And they're like, Senator Blunt is your first guest. I'm like, wonderful. So, Senator.
Well, you're, as it turns out, you're exactly right. Yeah. Anything you did would be okay with me, so you just keep doing it.
That's fantastic. Well, my heart was warmed to hear about the efforts that you and some of your colleagues are making to make adoption more affordable for families. We need to have, the pro-life movement for sure needs to have a huge emphasis on equipping these women who carry these unintended, unplanned pregnancies to term. We need to equip them in that effort to choose life. Tell me about the effort that you're making to do that.
Well, we do, and what we're really doing here is just trying to fairly treat families who don't pay income tax. You know, if you pay income tax, you get an income tax credit. But about half of the families that adopt don't pay income tax. That means they're not making enough money to pay income tax after their various individual deductions and things go. They pay no income tax, so they don't get that credit. And really, I think, one, we ought to treat families fairly. If the government's going to encourage families to adopt, there's a way to do that for families that, frankly, are probably having a harder time adopting financially than families who are not. And it's a way to encourage further and to more fairly incentivize families who adopt. It's an important thing. I co-chair the Adoption Caucus in the Senate. It is the biggest caucus in the Senate. So,
wow.
You know, most of the senators have chosen to be part of that effort to encourage adoption, no matter what position they have on other issues that might relate to that. But you're exactly right, Annie. For pregnancies that are carried to term in a situation where the mom really can't keep that child, doing things that further encourage families to reach out and give that child a home for life is really important. And so that's what we're trying again to do in this legislation. Tried to get it in the tax bill. And interestingly, my good friend in the House, the chairman of the Ways and Means Committee at the time, Kevin Brady, who has two adopted sons, so it's not that he's anti-adoption, he ran the numbers on it and said, well, so many people adopt that can't afford, that don't have enough money to pay income tax, we can't quite afford adding that in. And so I'm of the view, if you're going to do it, you should do it for all adoptive families and give them the same government incentive to help with those early cost of adoption and the other things that happen when you you adopt somebody and bring them into your house, and just even the legal cost and other cost of adoptions are not inconsequential for many families.
I'm reminded of something I think I heard a pundit say, and it was about the Mexico tariff conversation, and say, and the point was that not every decision that is made by government needs to be based solely on the economic ramifications of that said decision, saying that if for the people who believed that the Mexico tariffs would help us in the immigration department, if there's a little bit of frustration that is going to be felt by the economy, that shouldn't wipe away any other benefit that the country might incur from said policy. And I feel like this is kind of similar to that, where if there is a greater good than, you know, the conversation you're saying, suggesting that economically that might not work out as well, we're investing $500 million in Planned Parenthood every year. And from everything that I understand, the only thing that they do that these other women's clinics don't do is abortion. Why can't we invest money in the adoption instead?
Well, I'm for investing in adoption. I think it's something that the government should encourage, wants to encourage, has generally reached out and found ways to encourage. And if you were going to look at just the sheer economics of this, the economics of this would be don't do it for anybody if it's just a tax issue. Because you know, the federal government has more money if we don't do this than we have if we do it. On the other hand, you look at the long-term impact of kids who grow up in families, and I'm convinced that's that creates a stronger citizen in almost all cases than kids who don't have the benefit of growing up in families. And so there's a payout somewhere, but more importantly for this discussion, it's the right thing for a government to encourage. And if we're going to encourage it for one group of adopted parents, I think it's not that hard to reach out and say we're going to treat all adoptive families the same. And if there's a benefit from the federal government for adopting, everybody gets it, whether they're rich or poor.
We're speaking with Senator Blunt, senator from Missouri, about his effort to restore the refundable portion of the current adoption tax credit. One of the things that we hear frequently in this pro-life, pro-choice, pro-abortion conversation, that the defense of making abortion continue to be, you know, very accessible to women, is that the homes that some of these kids would grow up in wouldn't be ideal. And why raise a child in lesser circumstances? And I fear that often gets tied to the wealth of or the income of that family in the home. And to your point of making this accessible to anybody who can raise a child, I don't think that there's a specific income that a household has to take in order to lovingly raise a child and give them an alternative to not existing anymore. So I think that it's a very non-elitist thing to do. I think it's a heartwarming thing to do, and I think it's something that could save a lot of lives if these kids were able to be born into circumstances where they could be adopted by somebody who had love to provide them, maybe just not, you know, piles of money, that because that doesn't really buy the happiness at the end of the day anyway.
Well, that's right. And again, if we're going to encourage it, we should encourage it for every family that's willing to do it. And I think it says a lot about those families who decide they're going to stretch and add other children to their family or add children to their family, even though they don't have a lot of extra money. They have decided they have some extra love, and that extra love is going to make a difference in the life of the person they adopt, and it's going to make a difference in that life if forever in ways that wouldn't be there in all likelihood without that family that wants to be sure that they've helped create a family for the person they bring into their family.
Senator Blunt, one last question for you before mm-hmm. we let you go. We're getting ready to, you know, the 2020 election cycle is really starting to fire up, and I think back on the consequences and benefits of the 2016 election with Donald Trump being in office and the pro-life conversation that we are having right now as a country. Because Hillary Clinton, who was very pro-abortion, isn't in office, and I look at some of the Supreme Court cases that are coming up here soon and that could come up in the future, when President Trump is in office, if he were to get elected again, it's a pretty significant advantage to the pro-life community to have that Republican representation in the administration, wouldn't you say?
Well, I think so. I think the president has been very aggressive in trying to keep his commitment on this issue from even down to abortive fetal research. The president has begun to go through a series of rulemaking as various research contracts come up that won't happen. Clearly, what the president has done in many cases has been true to that commitment he made to the pro-life community, but there's no reason to not understand that who a president puts on the courts have an impact well beyond their presidency. You know, the president's appointed two people to the Supreme Court, almost 50 people now to the 176 or so courts of appeals. So, you know, more than a fourth of the Court of Appeals judges are now Trump appointed, confirmed by a Republican Senate, two Supreme Court judges who both replaced people who were on the Supreme Court for 30 years. Mm-hmm. And both of those appointees were appointed by Reagan. Both of them served for 15 years or more after President Reagan died, let alone the fact that they served almost 30 years after he left the White House. They served for 15 years after President Reagan died. And I think if you look at the people being confirmed to you can look at those two Supreme Court judges, but also to the important court right below them, the Federal Court of Appeals around the country, the Eighth Circuit, the Ninth Circuit, the circuits we hear so much about. I think you're going to see most of them are in their 40s somewhere, and hopefully healthy and constitutional conservatives, and that will make a big difference for a long time. And it's clearly a very consequential part of what voters should be thinking about. And frankly, I think because of the Supreme Court vacancy in 2016, were thinking about when they decided, in many cases, to vote for President Trump.
Yes, that's why that Senate majority is so important to protect, as well as that administrative office for certain. Well, Senator Blunt, thank you so much for coming on today. I'm glad I didn't accidentally hang up on you at the beginning of this interview. That'd have been terrible.
Yeah, by next time, you'll be such a master of the new phone system, we won't even have to worry about it. Great to talk to you, Annie.
Thank you so much. I do appreciate it.
Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.